Hey everyone, welcome back to Music is My Jam. This is Isabel Richardson, and today I'm here with my dad again. We're talking about hi-fi and other things like that. So here we are.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
How's your day today?
Pretty okay.
Yeah, kind of weird feeling after a three-day weekend, huh?
Yeah, and then tomorrow we have testing. We're in the same room for like 3 hours.
Oh my gosh.
And we get out at 11:30, so.
Craziness.
That'll be fun.
How was your summer vacation?
Good.
Now that it's over.
Sad. I'm
kind
sad.
Of a, kind of a fun summer for you, huh? You
know, yeah, it was kind of... Well, now it's just, I don't know. Now it's kind of like the summer, you know what I mean? Just kind of like, after this, it's kind of...
It's all downhill from here, kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty soon there won't be no more summers. It's just work all the time.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, it's something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with it. So, started a new job.
Yeah. It's pretty like good.
That? Yeah.
People are difficult sometimes. But
well, that's okay. But, you know, here's the cool thing. You get all that money, you get to spend on hi-fi gear.
Yeah, that's what I would spend money on.
Yeah.
Okay.
And new records.
New records.
Yeah, whatever. That's what you're into.
Yeah.
It's good to have your own money.
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. Cool. All right. And school's going okay?
Yeah. I'd say so.
Good.
I'm not failing, so.
Well, that's important. Straight A's, right?
Yeah.
This is the year of straight A's?
Yeah.
I got faith in you.
We'll see.
So, what are we talking about? Well, you know what? A couple of things, you know, newsworthy things.
Okay.
You know, connected to music. We did a dry run. We tried this podcast the other night.
It was bad.
And it was like, it was late. I was like, it was a Friday night, and usually by Fridays, I'm tired. So, I was having a hard time making a coherent sentence. I think you were tired, and then I talked for an hour about hi-fi equipment, and halfway through, you had this glazed look on your eyes, like you could no longer absorb any information. And I'm used to seeing that. You know, people ask me about my job, and I start getting excited about my job.
Yeah.
And I start talking about all the ins and outs of what I do, and you see people's eyes just glaze over, like, okay, I just want to know how your day was, you know, not about, you know.
Yeah.
Multiplexed.
Mm-hmm.
Telephony signals, but anyway, so I saw that kind of look in your eye, and I was like, and then at the end of it, I was thinking, man, let's just take this and let it be a dry run, because we could do better than what we did. And we also discussed breaking it up into a couple parts, because there is a lot of information, and just trying to throw it at somebody who's maybe just trying to get into hi-fi all at once is maybe just like overwhelming. And it's an overwhelming hobby anyways. There's so many different things to learn. You know, there's no point in just trying to, all at once, you need to learn all this, you need to know all this. It's just kind of, it's just a bit much. But we kind of talked, me and you, it's no surprise, but, you know, a couple things that happened since our last time we talked on the podcast was Dusty Hill from ZZ Top died, and Charlie Watts from Rolling Stones died.
Yep.
So it's kind of a couple big movers and shakers in the music industry that are no longer around. And that's kind of sad. Both of them are really good at what they did. Both of them, you know, they're rhythm section guys, so they kind of blended in the background. But, man, they're just so important for both of those bands. They were kind of like the beating heart of both of them, in my opinion. So, you know, both of them had kind of these over-the-top front. I wouldn't call Billy Gibbons over-the-top, but he was just so darn cool. He kind of drew all the attention to himself, you know, on ZZ Top. And then, you know, Mick Jagger is over the top, although, you know, skinny little dancing around like a chicken guy. He kind of stole all the limelight.
Yeah.
But, you know, Charlie Watts made the band, I think. I think he was just kind of the cool, relaxed guy in the background who just made it all work. So, kind of sad, but I guess that's what time does. It just keeps moving forward. Other thing, breaking news, and this is really draws in.
Is it breaking, though?
It's
something. It's news.
In the realm of this podcast, it's breaking front line, front page, big time news.
Okay.
We talked about that none of the Bluetooth codecs were capable of lossless audio, right? So if you had your phone connected to Bluetooth headphones, you're missing some of the information, not all the information you get through. Well, Qualcomm, who builds hardware for cell phones, smartphones, came out with a lossless codec called AptX. And basically what they're saying is that they will be able to offer CD quality lossless audio streaming over Bluetooth to earbuds and headsets later this year. Which is awfully exciting because, well, for hi-fi and audiophile people, it's exciting. For most people, they could care less because it really don't matter to them. But, Bluetooth is so incredibly convenient in a lot of ways. Yeah. Not just for your earphones, but, like, if you wanted to play it on a home
phone. Earphones.
Okay. Your earbuds and headphones. Mm-hmm. That's a new term. I just made it up, earphones.
Oh, okay.
Why you gotta make fun of me?
No, I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying that's kind of...
All right. Now, see, you don't listen until I make a mistake. And all of a sudden, you hear it.
Yeah.
But anyways, there's a caveat to that. There are a couple caveats. One, that you'll have to buy matching or earbuds or headphones that are capable of receiving or working with that codec.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it will not be available on Apple products. But we mentioned last time that we think Apple is kind of scheming their own thing with their lossless Apple Music. That they're going to have their own Apple-only lossless codec for their products. So, anyways, I think that's interesting, and it opens up a lot of possibilities in the hi-fi world for more convenient listening. Because, you know, we talked about the dongles and...
Yeah.
All the corded stuff. It's just kind of a pain in the butt, you know. But if you're trying not to compromise with your streaming service, it's kind of nice. So, anyways, that's kind of something that came up between the last podcast and this one that I thought people would be interested in hearing.
Yeah.
So, what are your thoughts on all that?
Pretty cool.
I feel like I'm doing most of talking, and this is your podcast.
Well, that's just what you do, Dad. I mean, like, you don't talk a lot, but that's just when you get into something, it's you. You know what I mean? Like, it's when you... It's... I don't know how to explain it to you. It's like, I'm the same way, but when I'm talking about something that I really like, it's... I'm the only person who wants to talk about it. You know what I mean? So I understand with you, but, like, I don't really know when to intervene or anything with you, so...
Oh, intervene. This is your show. Take control of it. Okay. Yeah, questions you want to ask.
I do have a question, though. Like, what do you think is the best source of streaming... Like, with all different combinations and stuff. Like, do you like Apple Music with headphones or Spotify with Bluetooth or, like, you know what I mean? Or, like, speaker with, you know, one of the apps you use?
Yeah. Well, I think that's incredibly subjective and very personal. I really do because,
okay.
You know, I mean, because, like, a lot of people say, like, what's the best hi-fi sound system? What's the one you listen to the most?
Mm-hmm.
So it's whatever... is convenient enough and sounds good enough that makes you want to listen to music. But the way your generation consumes music is different from the way mine does.
Yeah.
And did. Like when I was a kid, when I was your age, I had my parents' old hi-fi system in my bedroom. And I didn't have a TV or video games or internet. So I would go in there and I'd put records or cassette tapes on and mm-hmm. for hours just sit there and listen to music.
Huh.
You guys have it in your heads all the time.
Right? Yeah.
And you're just consuming music at this mass rate, and it's more like the background to your life versus an actual...
Yeah.
...thing that, you know, and like a pastime almost or a hobby. It's just there.
Yeah.
So if you're a person who likes to go to the gym... and listen to your Bluetooth earbuds while you're working out,
mm-hmm.
and you can put your phone in your pocket, and you got Spotify streaming to your earbuds, and it helps you stay motivated to work out. That's the best way to listen to music, right? Because it's convenient and easy for you, and you're listening to music. It makes you happy. If you're me, and you come home from a hard day of work, and you sit, we're in the library right now, and we're sitting on a nice, big, comfortable leather sofa, and we got your mother's hi-fi system in front of us, and I can open up Tidal, which is a lossless streaming service through my streamer, and play into her hi-fi, you know, a really relaxing jazz album.
Mm-hmm.
And I could sit here and do nothing but listen to that music, and it makes me happy. But that's the best way to do it. Your grandfather and grandmother have a really, really nice hi-fi system in their house with a great record player. I mean, a really nice turntable. And they have records that they started collecting when they got married in 1970. Jeez. And they have those, and they're in good shape, and they can put those records on their record player, and it sounds fantastic. And they can reminisce about basically the last 50 years of their lives together as a married couple. That's the best way for them to listen to music, and that's what they enjoy. Your mom likes to throw Bluetooth, you know, she'll, in the same hi-fi system that I like to listen to Lossless on, she'll throw in a, you know, her Bluetooth playlist while she's cleaning the house and be dancing around the house and her own thing. She doesn't sit down and just listen to music.
Yeah.
You know, so everyone enjoys music differently, and I think that's going to have an impact on how you, on what technology you use to listen to music.
Yeah.
What about you? What's your favorite way to consume music?
Sometimes I do like using my speaker, my speakers that you gave me, with my record player that I have.
Yeah.
I do want to invest and get a new one with, because it's very unstable.
New record player?
It's very light. Yeah, there's no...
I'll help you get one.
There's no weight. Okay.
You save up for half, I'll pay for the other half.
There we go.
You get a good one.
Yeah. Because it's very... There's no weight to it, so it's very...
Yeah. It is what it is.
We had some problems with it, yeah.
It
just looks pretty. It's for the aesthetic, basically.
Yeah. Well, and it's fun to do too.
Yeah.
You know, it's a hands-on. But anyways, keep going.
Yeah. So when I'm just like maybe cleaning my room, I put like maybe Bluetooth to my speaker or put on a record that I like. I do listen to music like 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Like even during class, I have an earbud and listening to that, it helps me focus more.
What is your jam?
Yeah, music is my jam. I think. We should name our podcast that. Oh my god.
Yes.
And then sometimes when I'm sleeping, I'll listen to music. So basically, I think most of the time, what like you said, in the background, I have my Bluetooth earbuds. But when I'm actually doing something, like cleaning my room, or I just want to sit down and relax and do homework, I usually put it on speakers.
Okay.
So that's like what I do.
Let me ask you this. Do you ever sit down in front of your, either in front of your speakers in the perfect listening position, or with good earbuds in, and just listen to music and do nothing else and really pay attention to what you're hearing?
Oh yeah, all the time.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's that goes beyond just liking music into the audiophile realm.
Mm-hmm.
When you listen to music critically and do nothing else, not distracted by anything else, now you've become an audiophile. So you're starting to train your ears to listen for the differences in recordings, and the type of equipment that's being played, that you're using to play the music back. And that's why audio files and high fidelity sound systems go hand in hand. Because when an audio file sits down to listen to music critically, he's using a high fidelity sound system to play his music back, his or her music back. So I think that's what we're kind of starting the conversation off with today, is the sources of your hi-fi system. So hi-fi is high fidelity mm-hmm. being faithful, so it's highly faithful to the recording, to the, so it's playing back the recording artist's music faithfully, accurately.
Yeah.
So the OG source is your turntable,
mm-hmm.
so you can listen to vinyl. You have a record player, we got a record player. When I was a kid, that was what everyone listened to. My dad had a really, really expensive tape deck on his hi-fi system. But I think mostly he used it, what he would do is he could play a record. He'd go and buy a new album, and he could play a record and record that album onto a tape, a cassette tape, so that he could play it without worrying about wearing out his album or getting it out and scratching it.
Yeah.
And also, you know, you could take, you know, a couple songs off of this album and take a couple songs off of this album and make a mixtape.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you could kind of like play party music for an hour on a cassette deck and not have to worry about flipping your record over or just listening to a whole album. You could pick singles off an album.
Yeah.
So it was kind of fun, and it was a really nice tape deck. But when I was a kid, it was mostly records, and then some cassette tapes, and then as I got a little bit older, started driving, I had a cassette tape in my vehicle. So, you know, I bought most of my music in cassette form. And records are neat. at the time they were not, because you were like, man, this is kind of a pain in the butt. You have to constantly be, yeah, I don't want to listen to the next track. Yeah. So you're switching records all the time. It's real active. It's interactive. And at the time, that was kind of a pain in the butt. But now it's kind of part of the fun for your generation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's kind of a novelty to it almost, and this hands-on. Because so much of the stuff that you consume in your life is virtual.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't, you like that music that you hear on Spotify. You don't own it.
Mm-mm.
You're not touching it. It doesn't have any, you know,
connect
tactile.
Yeah.
You know, but so you get, oh man, this record, this is so cool. I've seen this on TV and movies and stuff. And you put it on and it's like, I own this now. And you're connected to it. You got the liner notes and you got the artwork and it's neat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So some of the things about records, you know, you got pros and cons on every source. And I think, you know, some of the cons of the vinyl albums, turntables and stuff is it's real expensive. You can buy a new album, it's $30. You know?
Unless you get it from like a thrift store or something.
Yeah, but at least what do you get? Is it something you really want, or are you just buying it because it's there?
Yeah.
So if you go out and you want to go buy the White Album, are you going to find it in a thrift store? So you got to buy a new pressing from Amazon or maybe find it in a record store.
Yeah.
And it's going to cost $30.
Or more.
Yeah. Or more. So for that $30, you could pay for 3 months of Apple Music or 3 months of Spotify. Is what, like 10?
I think it's 15.
15, so you could something 2 months like of Spotify.
Yeah.
More than 3 months of Amazon HD. You know? So, I mean, but then again, you own it, right?
Yeah.
It's yours. It's yours forever as long as you take care of it. And then the other thing with turntables themselves are really expensive. To buy a high-quality one, you're spending a lot of money. A lot of experts in the audiophile / hi-fi field speculate that you're not going to really get into the realm of high fidelity stratosphere, if you will, without spending $5,000 on a turntable.
Jeez.
Just a turntable,
yeah,
with a cartridge, $5,000. You still need a phono stage, and
yeah,
that's still not even getting to your actual amplifier, preamps, amplifier, speaker stuff. So if you got 1,000, 2,000 records in your collection, $5,000 turntable and a $2,000 phono stage going into your $10,000 rig, it gets pretty, you know, you're talking a lot of money. So for that kind of money, for $5,000, I could have a hi-fi system that is geared towards streaming or digital music. $5,000 outright, it sounds just, sound just as good.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like if me and you get into, because I don't have $5,000 to spend on an album. I like to play records though. So what are we getting out of it? What's that advantage? Is it purely a sound advantage, or is it the feeling of it, the immersed kind of hands-on? What do you think? Is it?
I think, well, this is gonna be weird, but with me, like I used to, like a couple years ago, you remember I got my first record, Paul McCartney, Give My Regards to Broad Street. Remember that?
Yes.
Got from the thrift store, and you let me borrow your headphones, and I had I used your turntable, and I had my headphones, your big black ones, and just engulf your whole head. What I liked about that is I could have just bought that on my phone, and I had it on my phone at the moment. I had it on Spotify, downloaded and everything. And I bought the record just because it was there, I guess. And just because with the headphones and just, it was nighttime, too. Like, it's just comforting.
Yeah.
Like, hearing every crackle and pop in your ear right there. And just, like, I don't know what it was, but, I mean, I could just listen to it on my phone with your headphones, but I had it on the turntable. I flipped the album, everything. I don't know what it was, but I just like having it hands-on. Because when I listened to it, I like held it, and I just read like the lyrics and looked at the pictures just over and over again, the whole album. So I guess just interacting with it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the interactive kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Physical. The physical in your, you know, present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think about this a lot because, you know, a lot of people say, oh, nothing sounds better than vinyl. Well, that may be true. Of course, that is subjective. And that may be true if you have $10,000 to spend on a hi-fi system.
Yeah.
If I have $1,000 to spend on a hi-fi system and I get, and I base it around vinyl, I'm not going to be disappointed, but I'm not going to get as much bang for my buck, so mm-hmm. to say. But is it just that absolute perfect playback that we're chasing? Or is it how music and how we play it makes us feel? Because if you're interested in music and the way it makes you feel and that, like you said, that physical interaction with it, and that makes you happy, that's what you should be going after.
Yeah.
But I also would say that if you're going to be getting into hi-fi, if this is something you want to do, you know, you may want to start more with like digital streaming because you can get, invest a little bit of money and get a lot more return for your, for, you know, as I said earlier, bang for your buck. So, but yeah, there's just something special about vinyl. There really is. I have, like, you know, we play records, you know, I mostly stream just because I like to, get a playlist going.
Yeah,
it's easy. I can just hit play, sit back, relax, and enjoy it.
Yeah,
I've done the whole vinyl thing as a kid, so the novelty is not as prominent in my experience as it would be in yours or your generation's. But it's still a big part of the industry. Records are coming back. So something else that is either, I've heard a couple different things. It's either dying a slow, painful death or making a kind of slow and steady comeback is compact discs.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you can go and you can go online and you can buy all kinds of compact discs for like pennies on the dollar, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and they're in good shape. And then as long as they don't get scratched, they're never going to wear out. You can collect them. You can own them. They have artwork and liner notes. Of course, it's not as big as an album, as a vinyl album, but you own the music. It sounds good if your equipment is right.
Yeah.
You know, considering we got CD players, which you can go buy a CD player. And a CD player has the device that plays back the CD and also the DAC. We talked about DACs last time, the digital analog converter.
Yeah.
And you can plug that into your hi-fi system and play all the CDs you want to play. And you can also get what's called a transport. And a transport is a CD player without the DAC. And what that allows you to do is you can upgrade your DAC, or you can have a really nice DAC, and your music's going to sound better going through that DAC than it would be on a CD player. So that's, but the, one of the cool things you can do about CDs, with CDs rather, is you can rip them and store them, and it's legal. You can rip the music off that CD that you own
uh-huh.
and store it on a hard drive. And then now you can play it back from a computer or another device that is capable of accessing it. So if you have like a network available hard drive, you can store a bunch of your ripped CDs on it
mm-hmm.
as files, FLAC files, and then you can draw back and play them through like Rune or Blue Sound or whatever you player you have as like an. Yeah, so you basically have your own streaming service.
Huh.
So it's kind of cool. It's something a lot of people do. And then, so you own the music, you rip it, you put your CD, you play it once, basically. Put it back in its jewel case, put it away, and it's safe forever. That's why you can go online and buy all these used CDs, because people rip them, put them on their hard drive, and then sell the CD. Or they've gotten tired of it, and it's, you know.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a cool thing to do. But, you know, it's another expensive component within your hi-fi system that sits up there and takes up room and makes heat and draws electricity and something else you have to deal with. But it's also kind of, in a lot of ways, the best of both worlds. You have this interactive media, and it's also got the digital convenience. Excuse me.
I'm just tired.
I'm going to swallow a gnat or something. Anyways. So that's kind of a cool thing. I'm thinking, you know, I'm getting ready to set up a new hi-fi system in the basement in the next year or two.
Yeah.
And I think at some point, I'll have a CD transport as part of that. And just because I can go down there, I'll have a record player, I'll have a CD player, I'll have a streamer, I'll have a computer. So any way I want to play music, it'll be available to me. But my thought is if you're just getting into wanting to kind of test the waters of hi-fi, is streaming is probably the easiest way to go. And the reason why is because everyone already owns a streamer, a music streamer.
Yeah.
They have a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use your smartphone as a source, Bluetooth. A lot of receivers accept Bluetooth. You have the 3.5 millimeter
adapter.
Yeah, but some phones, like my phone, you don't have it on yours, but my phone still has 3.5 millimeter.
Oh, jack. Yeah.
That you could take and split to a RCA, double-ended, you know, RCA, and plug it into your hi-fi system. You can use the DAC, and that's where you start to really progress, is if you put the dongle DAC on your phone, and then it converts to a 3.5 to RCA cables into your hi-fi. Now you've got a good sounding DAC, a good source, whether it be Spotify or Tidal or Qobuz or Apple or Amazon.
Yeah.
And you will be shocked how good that sounds with relatively little financial output. Because, I mean, you can go and get a decent set of speakers and a decent little amplifier and spend less than $500. No joke. And it will sound great. Huh. But we'll talk about that stuff later. We're just talking about sources today.
Okay.
But I think the streaming services and all the lossless music that we're able to get from them now is kind of the way most people should start. And I'm not trying to tell people what to do. And I think any way you enjoy music is fantastic as long as you're doing it. But it's so simple. It's so gratifying. It's gotten so much better. When not streaming, but digital music first came out, you know, music over the internet, iTunes, it was really kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
It sounds a lot better now. So one more thing I just want to talk about real quick. I want to distinguish a hi-fi system from what's called a lifestyle device. So these little like Bluetooth pods that you get, you connect your phone to, and you can take them anywhere you want to go.
Yeah.
Those are not hi-fi because they're not offering stereo. So what hi-fi does is what's called a two-channel system. You have a right and a left. And if you set it up properly, you get a holographic image, stereo image, that fools your brain into thinking that you're in the middle of a concert or the middle of a band or the middle of a performance. And you can't get that with those lifestyle devices. Well, those lifestyle devices are great. They're fun. You take music anywhere. Everyone can hear it. They're great for parties and barbecues and working in the house and all that stuff. But that there's a distinguishing line between that and hi-fi. So when I say if you want to dip your toes in the hi-fi, I'm not talking about going and buying one of those little Bluetooth boom boxes. That's fun. It's great, but it's not hi-fi. When I talk about hi-fi, I'm talking about receiver
mm-hmm.
and two speakers. And we can talk more about that next time, but I just kind of want to set the groundwork for that now.
Okay.
So yep. It's a different deal. Yeah. I think that's kind of covers that covers sources, so maybe next time we can get together and talk about it. I don't know, do you want to keep talking or you want to call it?
Well, I didn't want to keep it like a kind of a short episode. Yeah. I didn't want to like make people just listen to this whole hour. You know what I mean?
All this bullcock up in the end. So next time let's talk about we talked about dongle DACs already. We could talk about DACs that go in your sound system.
Yeah.
Are actual components. And we'll talk about maybe preamps, amps, and speakers.
Yeah, okay.
And I'll try to keep it brief and fun and entertaining and not boring.
Well, what I wanted to ask you was, like, do you like CDs or records or cassettes better? What's your...
I don't like cassettes. I don't like the way that they don't produce sound, reproduce sound as well as albums. CDs, I still have a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth with CDs. Because,
really?
Well, just because the CD players that first came, I was there when CDs came out in the early 80s. And it was great because it was this shiny little disc plugged in and you could skip, you can go back. You never had any of the hiss or pops. But it was just so hard to listen to at a high volume for a very long amount of time. It just had this kind of sharp-edgedness to it. Mm-hmm. And now the technology's improved quite a bit. If you want to play a CD over a modern DAC, a CD transport through a modern DAC and a good hi-fi system is going to sound good. And they're fine. But, you know, the CDs, the big thing with CDs is in your car, you throw a CD in.
That's what I use them for, maybe, yeah.
But I don't use CDs in my car. I just put my phone
on. Do you
have
a CD player? In the Jeep?
Yeah. I don't use it. Bluetooth. I don't even have CDs anymore.
Yeah, you gave them to me.
Yeah, so I just use the phone now. I mean, that's just kind of really convenient. And it didn't sound as good, but it's more convenient. I really enjoy certain artists on vinyl. I think even with the moderate or even beginner's setup, turntable, sometimes it's just something about it that sounds better. And if I have the time and patience to go through several albums, there's nothing I enjoy more.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was going to say CD, cassette tape, or vinyl, it'd be vinyl all day long.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
Nothing against CDs.
Yeah, I like CDs.
Like I said, I do too in a lot of ways, but I still have that bad taste in my mouth. That was a long time ago, and I still haven't gotten over it. they're fine, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, but there's a reason why they're not around. They're starting to go away. They're starting to disappear.
Yeah.
You know, they may be making a comeback.
Style, yeah.
But it's just not quite as interesting or fun or romantic, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
Not like romantic. Ooh, we're gonna kiss. I mean, like, you know. What was that?
Like, I don't know.
About you?
With vinyl, I really like vinyl because I have. When you get a vinyl, it's like, I've talked about this before in previous episodes, but like with vinyl, you make an effort to look for that perfect album, to look for that band that you like. You know, with Spotify, you just download any song you want and try it out, and then you can unlike it or undownload it anytime you want.
Right.
But with vinyl, you have it. That's yours.
Yes.
And what I like about it is that it's more effort, I guess, but it'd be a con and a pro to have more effort in it. But it's like bands that I like. Like, it feels like to me that they made that especially for me.
Sure.
You know, and I have Sgt. Pepper, that's the anniversary version of it. I have, like, this little letter from Paul McCartney that's written on it in the album. And he talked about how it was made and stuff like that. And I have, like, those cardboard cutouts in it, too. And it just, because with vinyl, it comes with things. You get a poster with it, or you get, like, pictures with it or something.
It's more of an experience.
Yeah. So I think, but with CDs, too, they're convenient, because I have a bunch of them in my car. All my CD slots are filled in my car. There's six of them. I have them all filled. So with CDs, it's more convenient for me, but with vinyls, it's more of a emotional. And with me, I'm more emotional and sentimental with things.
Sure.
Like, I need to hold on to things, you know?
So you don't use your streaming services in your car?
Mm-mm. No. Because with CDs, my car, I have to make a playlist, and then I have to get my aux, and then I have to get my adapter and plug it all in and get my playlist ready. But with CDs, I just press a button, what CD I want, and just go, you know? Okay. And I just skip songs whenever I want or whatever. And it's just easier, I guess. I don't know.
Well, here's it makes me think of something, because when I was your age and really starting to get into music, I was younger, I was more like a junior high school when I started getting music, but we'd hear a song on the radio, a single, and you go, man, who is this band? What's this song? Who's this band? Okay, I'm going to go down to the record store and I'm going to buy this because I really like this song. And you were taking a massive risk when you're a kid, and you're hard-earned. Back then, you know, like a cassette tape was like $10 or $12.
Oh.
And an album was probably about
$15. Hmm.
You take your hard-earned money and you slap it down because you want this song that's on this album that you hear on the radio that you really like. Well, it turns out that's the only good song on the whole album.
Yeah.
So you've got two choices. Either you just put that thing away and you don't really think about it again and now what a waste of money. Or you listen to it until you force yourself to like it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a good thing, too, because it really kind of opens up your taste, you know. It makes your brain kind of make new folds, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
So that's something that I didn't enjoy about purchasing music when I was a kid. It just felt like, man, I got this one song, that's it, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what makes streaming services so convenient for me that I really like about them, is I can go and cherry pick. I know, you know, all these albums that I've listened to over the years. Oh, I like this song from this one, this song from that one, and put a playlist together of all my favorite artists and songs. And I know that I can hit play, sit back, and every song that comes on, I'm going to thoroughly enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's, oh, I don't really like this song, you know, which happens when you play an album. Of course, the CD, you could just skip it, but
yeah.
That's, I don't know, it's kind of cool. That's something different about our generations. Probably something you never had to think about, because you guys don't even listen to radio anymore, do you?
No, yeah. No, I didn't listen to the radio in a long time.
Yeah.
Just because I have my CDs in my car. Then yeah. Radio music is not appealing to me, I guess.
It's just it's kind of, I don't want to disparage anybody, but we have what, like, 1.5 radio stations that are worth listening to in Watertown.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and they don't play any modern music that I can, you know, so you're not listening to it to hear new songs that you might want to go buy. You're just listening to, you know, something that old geezers like to listen to.
Yeah.
But that's how people used to consume music, mostly was the radio. So, but you know, back when I was a kid, we had in California, the dial was full. I mean, there's just loads and loads of radio stations with all kinds of different music.
Yeah, I like California's radio.
So you could really kind of hear all kinds of new stuff, and it was fun. It was fun and exciting. I remember sitting up with my friends late at night listening to the Friday night radio shows where they would have call-ins. People would call in. What is it called? Dedications. Mm-hmm. They do dedications to their girlfriend or
they
had a crush on somebody. I want to dedicate this song to so-and-so. That was always kind of fun. We try to call in every once in a while and be goofy, but it's, you know, it's something people just don't do anymore.
Yeah.
It's, our kids do anymore, so.
Huh.
But that was another way to consume music. And, you know, radio is not high, not necessarily hi-fi. Radio is a compressed signal. But,
yeah.
Well, satellite radio in your car. I guess you can listen to that on at home, too.
You know, the radio in my car, it's very spotty.
Is it?
You know, like, in certain parts of the town, it won't work. Like, it's very in and out. It's very, like, you go one part of town and it works great, and then you drive, 2 yards, and then it's, like, spotty.
Yeah.
And it's, like, so I just listen to CDs because I don't want to risk, you know.
Well, the other thing, too, is half the time you're listening to commercials anyways. You know?
Yeah.
You know? And then they just finally play a song, and it's a song you can't stand.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. But.
So should we get to our segments now?
Okay.
Okay, so let's go with music trivia. I did change the question.
Oh, gonna throw me a curveball, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah. You can't just be like, you can't know the answer. Well,
I already forgot what the other one was.
Did you?
I can't remember yesterday's anything.
Are you serious?
No, ask me a question.
Okay. So I'll ask you the same question, I suppose, since you forgot.
I'll take a new one.
You'll take a new one? Okay. I don't really.
You forgot.
Oh, no. Okay. Okay. What year did the first Beatles album come out? You can give me like.
I think it's.
A range of 1 or 2 years.
64, 65. No?
Keep thinking. What did you think? What do you think?
I'm close, right?
Mm.
I mean, like, it's what? Is it before that?
Mm-hmm.
63.
Yeah. I think it was 63, yeah.
I must be thinking like they blew up.
That was like
in America.
That, 64, right? 65 was like Help, and 64 was like A Hard Day's Night and stuff like that. Okay. All that kind of when they started to really take off, you know, with that and stuff like that. And then they released with the Beatles, I think 63 or 64, so it's more after that. So
cool. What was the question you asked me before?
Who my favorite singer was?
I said it was JC, right?
Yeah. Do you like JC?
I don't really.
I put some of his songs in your playlist I made for you.
I'm not gonna, like, you know, I'm sure he's very talented, it's not my kind of music. What have you been listening to lately, though? Are you listening to anything new? Are you still stuck on?
I still listen to the Beatles and NSYNC all the time.
anything different you're listening to? Anything
yeah, new? There's this one band. They're called Hot Freaks.
It's well, that sounds nice.
Yeah. No, it's like teeny bopper music.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of stupid. It's very... The singer isn't even that good at singing, but, like, the lyrics are just, I don't know, they're nice. It's kind of just, like, light music, just kind of, like, it's, like, loud and light, and just, I like that. Okay. Stuff like that. I'm going back to the 80s music. Rod Stewart.
Oh, cool.
Stuff like that.
Rod Stewart was in the 70s, too.
Yeah.
A band called Faces.
I think I heard of that, yeah. Stuff like that. So that's what I've listened to lately. So,
yeah. I started listening and getting big into Amy Winehouse.
Yes.
You know, I'm always, like, way behind the... You know, Amy Winehouse was big, like, what, 15 years ago?
90s, 2000s, yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I didn't pay any attention to her back then, but now that she's gone and no one else is paying any attention to her music, I started listening to it. She got a BBC Sessions album.
Yeah,
that one's really good. It's good. The band she's with is great.
Yeah.
Good songs.
I got cozy into Amy Winehouse, so.
Started listening to Natalie Merchant again. Me and your mom had that, her album Tiger Lily when we were first married and listened to it a lot. She sounds good. She's always sounding good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, what else you got for segments?
Segments, I have a song challenge. We talked about this a little bit. I have song challenge, and then I have which one. We'll do which one first.
Okay.
So we talked about this, Adele or Greta Van Fleet with Rolling in the Deep, and it was half and half. So it's a tie.
So half people were dead wrong.
Yeah, half of them choose Adele. The dead wrong.
The right ones, yeah.
No. Anyways. You don't even listen to the Greta Van Fleet version of it.
Hippies. All right,
Not hip. Okay, you can't even... Okay. So that was what happened as a tie. That's first time it's ever happened with a tie. So now we have the song September by Earth, Wind, and Fire, or Justin Timberlake did like a remix version of it with his voice and Anna Kendrick, I think.
Okay.
With that, so we're going to choose between those.
Do I get to choose right now?
No, you can if you want.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Okay. I can
do it. You knew that, right?
Yeah, I did, okay. Yeah. Let's everyone talk about this a little bit. Song challenge, a song that reminds you of winter. I said Unbreak My Heart by Toni Braxton. I talked about how when I listened to that song in January. Here we go. January, I think it was 16th, which I don't know how I remember that. I remember specific dates all the time, but I was laying on Cosette's couch, her leather couch that was super small and always cold. I was listening to that, and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and it was like snowing outside, so it just reminds me a lot of just having a cold feeling and just, you know, that's what reminds me of winter. So what do you think about that? What's your opinion with that?
Yeah, I think music's got a really interesting way of being able to tie memories in.
Yeah.
It really, really locked down memories you can tie smells and music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really strongly. I think we talked about this too. I mentioned it. When it's gray and cold and cloudy outside, I am in the mood for Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
It's just it fits the mood, man.
Yeah.
It's that gray kind of brooding music that kind of fits the bill, you know. I'm a big Pink Floyd guy anyways, but, you know, I don't, during the summertime, I hardly listen to them at all, but in the winter, it's like, man, I can't get enough of it. So I think for me, that's kind of my music in the wintertime. It's not winter music. It's just
that vibe. You know?
It's
a vibe. Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, so that reminds me of winter, I guess. Which is... And also, Macy Gray, too. Because that same month, January, I went to Cosette's house to listen to that one song. I forgot. I Try, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to that while I was over at her house, and that was during the winter. And that night, Mac drove me home from their house. I remember that night very... vividly, is that a good word? Like very specifically, yeah. So just a lot of like, I'm very good with tying music with memories,
yeah.
And days, like that's just what I do, you know. That's just how I do things, I guess. So
it's how your brain be.
Mhm. So that's our segments. You want to take us out for the outro? Do you remember the outro?
I don't, but I'll give it a try this year.
Hmm.
No, I completely forgot.
Okay. Thank you for listening to Music Is My Jam, where we talk everything music because music is everything.
I remember that part. Music is everything.
There we go. All
right.
Thanks for listening, guys.